What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Let's waste a Saturday night with Josh Hadley, as well as the cat returning.
Woo, yay. Oh my god, I'm so tired.
She just moved, so she has a new litter box.
I do have a new litter box.
And then we have Mr. Creepy Fister himself, Charlie McMullen, back.
Well, just add me on Skype and then never call me.
That's a joke you people won't get, because that's what we were talking about beforehand.
That's right. That won't make sense until way later, but it'll be worth it.
Let's just get right into...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I was kind of vaguely aware of this, that there are certain municipalities where it's illegal to sell sex toys. Like, you cannot have a sex shop. You cannot have a porno store. Well, a Georgia woman is suing over this. She's from Sandy Springs, Georgia, and she is suing the government of Sandy Springs because they will not allow her to buy a dildo. I'm quoting here, without a medical, scientific, educational, legislative, or law enforcement purpose. Before we break this down,
your tax dollars at work.
Like, why is that even attached to this statement? Like, is there some reason?
It's strapped
why
on.
Law enforcement? Like, God, you can go to hell for that. Law enforcement purposes? Is that when, like, somebody has to go undercover, like an undercover sting, and they need to own a dildo for some reason? I am now officially more concerned about the law enforcement aspect than any other part of the story.
I don't know. The legislative aspect is somewhat interesting, too.
Well, you know, that just, you know, all of your local officials need to get their freak on.
Apparently.
Georgia has free time and fucked up laws. This reminded me of something. I was doing an out-of-town comedy show. This was about a year and a half ago. I was with a friend of mine. In fact, I'm just going to give him a plug. His name is John Christ. If he is performing anywhere near you, go see him, because he's very funny. But he and I were like in the middle of about a four-hour drive, and we were just talking, and I started talking about karaoke. He is from a town in Georgia called Lilburn, I believe. But when he was growing up, his dad was the mayor, and he made karaoke illegal.
Why?
Apparently because it's conducive to rowdy, drunken behavior, which is true.
Footloose! But it's nothing,
exactly, that's what I told him. I'm like, so it's like Footloose, but it's real.
What the
And anywhere else, this dildo sting operation would have been surprising, but it did not surprise me at all.
Here's the thing. In Sandy Springs, they do have places you can buy these things. But you need a doctor's note or literally a note from the judge or from a teacher because educational purposes. Melissa Davenport is suing, basically saying, this is illegal. This is a violation of my Fourth Amendment right. Yes, she's pulling the Fourth Amendment card, that she has a right to privacy, which means she should not have to go see a doctor if she wants a dildo. I think she might be overplaying her hand a little bit, but I don't disagree with that. Wasn't even a pun, but if you want to read it as such, go ahead. Here's the thing, quoting Melissa Davenport, people really do need devices because they need it for health reasons and to have a healthy, intimate life with their spouse. In this case, Davenport has multiple sclerosis and, by her own admission, has sensitivity issues in that area, and she needs a little bit of help. So she's saying, why do I have to have my doctor prescribe something for my husband to stick in me? I don't disagree with that.
Why do you need a prescription for something you can get at a very good price if you use the promo code STATIC or JUICE or DROME?
At AdamandEve.com. You got to finish the
AdamandEve.com. That's right. You'll get some lube. I think it is. I don't know if it's unconstitutional, really. I don't know, though. I don't know if it's really a constitutional issue, but I think it's ridiculous. I don't think anybody should ever need a prescription to buy something that you can almost get for free if you walk down any street in Las Vegas.
It is ridiculous. And again, I think somewhere along the lines, it's got to be unconstitutional. This is clearly a law that's being made by conservative people who don't understand the usefulness of masturbation, who are somehow religiously driven to think that it's a terrible thing, when in fact, I don't want to say everybody does it, but a lot of people do it, and a lot of people need it. At some point in time, it is kind of a need.
And I agree with you, Kat. I'm doing it right now.
I would also like to just point out a personal thing. When I was reading the station that broke this story, WSB-TV, the reporter in the video is Rachel Stockman. I worked with her for years in Green Bay. I just found that to be just intensely funny myself.
I don't see I don't understand how this became a religious thing, but I know that's what's behind it. I mean, people that try to outlaw things, this is why I have such a problem with religion. This is taking your beliefs and trying to force them on an entire town of people by making laws. It's perverting our whole system of jurisprudence. It wastes taxpayer money, and it's just ridiculous. People refuse to see how ridiculous it is because they are that zealous about it.
On top of that, it's almost, I hate to say this, but it's a little bit discriminatory because, you know, women, a lot of women are the ones who use them, dildos, and men don't necessarily need aid, some sort of external device to wank off, whereas women may benefit from one.
Sure, I took biology. I know what's going on down there.
It doesn't actually do anything to help, you know, calm down that whole masturbation epidemic that is obviously going on in that town. Because, it's only hurting, it's not only hurting, but it's mostly just hurting a couple of groups rather than the whole.
Are you explaining that with a W or an H?
I'll let you guys say.
Well,
even outside of the religious thing, blame to where blame is due, I think a lot of this is also male insecurity. The male lawmakers are saying, what? They can get something that's better than my dick? Like, fuck, they will.
I think this mostly is due to the religion thing, though, because this will segue into somewhat of the next part of this topic. More of this, only Christian ideals get to be endorsed. The freedom of religion has come up again in Virginia. A Virginia official has outright said that the freedom of religion doesn't mean that every religion has to be heard. If we allow everything, where do you draw the line? I think America, pretty much from the founding fathers on, I think we have to say more or less that we're a Christian nation with Christian ideology. If we're a Christian nation, then I would say that we need to move forward with only our Christian heritage, unquote.
Oh my God. See, this was the article that you sent that I couldn't even get all the way through because I just was so nauseated by the first opening statements.
This was said by Al Bedrosian, which kind of sounds like a porn star name when you think about it, Roanoke County Board of Supervisors. This leads into the same kind of thing. Charlie and I talked about this a little last week, but what is this that, no, freedom of religion means only freedom of my religion? And that also ties into the sex toy thing, that my religion says marital aids, that's what they love to call them, are wrong, so nobody gets to use them. This is why I keep telling people there's a civil war coming. There's no way to avoid it at this point. I'm going to quote again, though. The global warming crowd worships the environment as God. The abortionist has the death of unborn babies as their God. And the homosexuals have sexual freedom as their God. The real battle is keeping the name of Jesus as Lord. The name Jesus is what makes us a Christian people and a Christian nation. That is why we must continue our heritage as a Christian nation and remove all other gods. Unquote.
Jesus Christ.
What really kills me is that this guy is just so insane. I mean, Christians are a group of people who all worship the same God but can't decide what's the right way to worship that God, and they can't even get along with each other. But they want to basically say, well, Christianity is the one true religion of this country, and everybody should have to, whether or not they actually are Christian, should have to live up 110% to Christian values. And they can't even decide what Christian values are.
Well, I always thought Christian values were loving thy neighbor and helping the poor and all these other things that the true Christians seem to always fight against. Or did I misread the Bible?
I don't think you misread it. I don't think you you did the last step, which is twist it to fit your own agenda.
I knew I was forgetting a step.
Right.
That's what happens when you only skim the manual.
Should have gone to church more often.
I don't know. I don't want to be repeating myself every week on the show. My opinion on this kind of religion has not changed in the past week. So I still don't think it's right to use religion as a smokescreen for hate.
But the reason I am bringing this back up again, even though we talked about it last week, is this that will actually just be a precursor to the Newt Gingrich thing. Have you guys seen all of the fallout from the Michael Sam draft day kiss?
I just am not paying any attention to it at all because so little good is going to come out of following any kind of media.
But no, this was a very true human moment. Michael Sam was the first openly gay player to try out for an NFL team. And on when you're drafted, they often have, you know, some of the top picks. They have a camera at ESPN or Fox Sports or whatever at the home. And then when they get drafted, and they go and kiss their wife. Well, Michael Sam, being openly gay, kissed his boyfriend on national television.
His white boyfriend.
His white boyfriend. Yeah, Michael Sam is black and he had a white boyfriend. So
those poor conservatives, they're still fuming.
They don't even know what to do with themselves over that. It's interracial and it's gay.
Newt Gingrich thinks the gays are being intolerant by not letting the Republicans and the religious people hate this. That you people are being intolerant of our hatred, so therefore you're the villain in this. I'm not kidding.
God, just murder them all.
What a great country this is, huh?
I mean, one Fox News anchor actually was getting so angry at her co-anchor for just saying, if you don't like it, don't watch it, she walked off the set. She's like, I'm not having this discussion. It's disgusting. And she left. Why are two... I mean, it's not like they had a big sloppy makeout kiss. It was like a quick peck, just like you would see, you know, a man and a woman give in that situation. What's the fucking problem?
Intolerance is the problem.
But like,
I would like to point out, though, that Michael Sam was picked in the 7th round of the draft. Nobody was fucking watching that anyway.
Well, another NFL player said, man, we got kids that watch this thing. Can't you think? Of course they brought out, can't you think of the children?
Won't someone please think of the children?
But yes. Oh, no, we'll have to explain two people of the same gender kissing because that's somehow more awful than people of opposite genders kissing. It's
but
two
Kat,
people kissing.
This was also interracial. So not only was it homosexual, it was interracial homosexual.
Oh, no.
So it's a double down.
I think conservatives just look for any reason to never talk to their kids about anything. Because anytime something like this happens, every conservative in the news is worried about how to explain it to their children. Would they rather just not fucking talk to their kids ever? Like, I think they're just mad about having to explain stuff.
There is sort of a bigger issue here. There are two of them, actually. One being, the gays are intolerant to our intolerance. That's kind of an interesting one right there. But let's leave that aside for just a moment. The NFL, that it's family-friendly, that, oh my god, you showed two men kiss. Isn't this the same NFL that openly welcomes dog fighters and rapists and pedophiles and sexual deviants? But seeing two men in a committed relationship share a peck, that's over the line.
Yeah, the entire NFL is propped up through sponsorships from alcohol companies and pharmaceutical companies. So why are alcohol and Viagra okay, but two people in love kissing with, you know, celebrating some good news is not okay?
Also the fact that, like I said, how many convicted rapists are still playing in the NFL because they throw a ball good?
A lot. They can get out of fucking killing a guy if they're good at football.
This is that whole, once again, we discuss this almost every time, but it's that made-up war on Christianity that, like, uber-conservative Christians think exists. Where, okay, so first off, yes, there probably was an explosion of people reacting negatively online to people who reacted negatively to the kiss. The people who said horrible things probably got lambasted by, you know, people with souls. And so they were probably feeling kind of defensive because, whoa, I didn't know I was going to look like an asshole for being an asshole. And so they probably felt a little bit defensive. But my thought is this, if you put your opinion out there to people, you should expect people to disagree with you on occasion. And if that opinion is one of intolerance, when, you know, you're because your religion says so, but your religion also preaches loving thy neighbor and helping other people and being a good person, but you totally to spin that around and go backwards and do everything that basically you do everything wrong and you're a terrible asshole. You know what? Just expect to have people disagree with you. And people disagreeing with you is not the same thing as being persecuted.
According to Newt Gingrich, it is. Quoting Newt Gingrich, you guys, I don't know who he's exactly meaning, you guys are the gay mafia, I don't know.
He's just shaking a big finger.
You guys talk about how you want to be inclusive, but then you punish those who speak out against gay Americans. That's repression. That's not inclusive.
It's not repression. It's being a good fucking person. God damn it. Okay, see, we have nothing against religion. I am an atheist. I am a comedian, so I say cunt and fuck into a microphone a lot in public. Have had premarital sex. I have had a child out of wedlock. When my dog shits in the alley, I don't pick it up every time. I am not a good person, but I have nothing against religion. I don't want religion to end. I want this kind of bullshit to end. I want this hypocritical, just hate-fueled, bullshit, attention-seeking madness to end. It doesn't help anybody. It's definitely not helping you. You're not making your case with bullshit like this. You're not making your case by saying, I should be allowed to hate whatever I want. No, you shouldn't hate anything because it does nothing. It rots your soul from the inside out. And if you're that big on religion, that should be a priority with you.
We got it, Kat. Only relatively early in the show, we got the Charlie Snap moment.
Whoa, good. It was nice to get it out of the way.
You okay, Charlie?
Yeah, I feel fine.
breathe a little, and then drink away your problems.
But then I would also like to just point out, this is Newt Gingrich, the same Newt Gingrich who is on his third wife, each one that he cheated on the previous wife with.
The last of which he cheated on while she was dying of cancer in the hospital.
I was just about to get to that. So when this man screams family values, I don't know if that makes it ring hollow or just hypocritical.
It certainly speaks volumes about some Americans who still listen to him, knowing all of the things that he does, and then they try and defend him making those statements. If somebody who was clean, if Jesus Christ came down and said, you know, I'm not a fan, I don't like that, then maybe I'd be willing to listen. But people who are terrible fucking human beings who claim to be religious and follow the religious ideologies and who, you know, talk about what it takes to be a good person, but who are in fact terrible, terrible people. You can't take what they say with any grain of salt. You can't even listen to what they say because they're fucking horrible hypocrites.
Well, that I'm going to add on to that because you're absolutely right. Well, Newt Gingrich also then decided to blame Michael Sam for all this. Quote, Michael Sam is a brilliant marketer. We'll see how good of a football player he is. This guy understands how to manipulate the media and maximize his impact.
Oh, fuck you. Don't talk to me about manipulating the media, Newt Gingrich. God, fuck you.
Okay, two Charlie Snap moments.
God damn it.
It's one of those things where I don't wish death upon people, and I usually don't celebrate death. But when he dies, we're going to have a party.
On that note, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, we're going to talk gay again, as well as the interesting impact of reading.
Well, you tried it just for once, find it all right for kicks. But now you find out that it's a habit that sticks, and you're an orgasmatic. You're an orgasmatic. Sneaking in the back door with Teddy magazines. So your mother wants to know what all the stains on your jeans. And you're an orgasmatic. You're an orgasmatic. You're getting that salt, but you're still keeping beating your meat to pulp. And you're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. You're a kick Casanova, you're a no Joseph. It's a level of fucking yourself to death. Orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. You're making out with school kids, winos and heads of state.
Heart Attack. I am Hart D. Fisher, and of course with me is Mr. Josh Hadley. And this week, I'm laughing my ass off because there's a story on rawstory.com about, this is a quote, FBI Director James Comey said, zero tolerance pot policy is killing our ability to hire top flight cyber war programmers.
Well, what he's basically saying is all of our computer techs are potheads, so this kind of doesn't work.
They're not hiring the bottom of the barrel here. These guys are going into, according to the Wall Street Journal, Comey, he told the White Collar Crime Institute's annual conference difficult to fill the 2,000 new jobs that Congress had authorized this year because they can't hire anyone who smoked pot in the last three fucking years. Three fucking years, guys? That's pretty funny. I mean, Comey explained, I have to hire a great workforce to compete with those cyber criminals, and some of those kids want to smoke weed on the way to the interview. So the FBI is in the process of, quote, grappling with the question right now of how to change the drug policy. That's right, folks. The FBI, even though marijuana is being prosecuted by Obama's administration, people are going to jail for smoking marijuana, but now the FBI is saying, well, we need to change this drug policy because we need computer programmers to go after these hackers.
But do you notice something built into this, Hart? The entire part of, well, we only want to relax this when it helps us. Otherwise, yeah, you're all filthy potheads.
Yeah, no, totally, dude. As soon as it suits them, that's okay. Oh, it's okay. Just like it's okay for the CIA to sell drugs to black people in Los Angeles, to sell crack cocaine through proxies into LA. And yeah, that's a fact, folks. Our own spy agency did sell crack cocaine to the black folks of South Los Angeles.
The CIA smuggled pot and cocaine and heroin out of Vietnam inside the coffins of dead soldiers. That's not a conspiracy theory either. It's been proven that they did this.
Well, guys, it leads right into my next article I want to talk about from the LATimes.com because two of California's counties are suing five of the world's largest narcotics manufacturers. Case opened up on Wednesday. They are accusing the companies of causing the nation's prescription drug epidemic by waging a, quote, campaign of deception aimed at boosting sales of potent painkillers such as OxyContin. Officials from Orange and Santa Clara counties both hit hard by overdose deaths, emergency room visits, and escalating medical costs associated with prescription narcotics contend the drug makers violated California laws against false advertising, unfair business practices, and creating a public nuisance. And they're using a lot of the kinds of lawsuits that they went after Big Tobacco for. Have you seen anything about this, Josh?
Not that particularly, but I can tell you right now, I agree with them, but they're going to lose.
I don't think so.
I do because it is, and I hate to wrap this in, but it is your First Amendment right to lie about what your product can do. Kellogg's and all the big companies sued and won this. It is their First Amendment right to be able to say Frosted Mini Wheats gives you the energy for a good day. It's their constitutional right to say orange juice helps fight cancer, even if there's no science backing it up. It is their First Amendment right to label their product as they wish. So they will lose this lawsuit, Hart.
Now, let me tell you why they're going to win. All of the painkillers were approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. This means that their approvals are tightly controlled on what the companies can say about the drugs they sell and require that individual product labels carry warnings about addiction and other serious side effects. The counties allege in the lawsuit that the drug manufacturers broadly promoted their entire class of narcotic painkillers as safer than they were. The marketing campaign promised unproven benefits such as improved sleep and quality of life that went beyond the claims the FDA allowed the companies to make in marketing specific drugs. The companies also employed tactics similar to those used by tobacco industry to conceal their deceptive marketing conspiratorial behavior. And then the good one is they've been using leading physicians known within the companies as key opinion leaders to spread the message to their peers, as in bribing them. Another marketing ploy of the drug companies to artificially create and co-opt patient advocacy organizations and medical specialty societies. The companies use these front groups to promote narcotic painkillers and to write treatment guidelines that expanded the market beyond what it was meant for. And it was the drug maker's marketing and not any medical breakthrough that rationalized prescribing opioids for chronic pain and opened the floodgates of opioid use and abuse, the lawsuit says. I think they're going to win because didn't Big Tobacco lose, Josh?
Did not so much.
They lost.
Big Tobacco settled out of court. That's not losing.
They paid up.
They had to pay up, but that doesn't mean that they lost.
Because in 2007, Purdue agreed to pay $635 million to settle criminal and civil charges by the federal government and several states that had underplayed OxyContin's addiction risk to persuade doctors to prescribe it. So one company's already lost and had to cough up money.
I still don't think as much as I agree with them and as much as I'd like them to win.
I don't see it happening, man.
I don't see it happening.
This is right under, you know, yelling fire in a crowded movie theater. It's the same thing. These guys were very aware of what they're doing, just like Big Tobacco was. They know, and they know that their drugs are being misused. You know, they know. We know Johnson & Johnson paid a $2.2 billion bribe to the government so they wouldn't be pursued for their illegal pushing of drugs beyond what they're supposed to be used for. I really think they're going to win this one, and I really hope they do, but I got to go back to the pot. I mean, it's so fucking funny about this that they're going to let these guys break the law. I mean, we're talking about the FBI is going to let drug users into their building. And I think marijuana should be legal. I'm totally for it. But it just cracks me up that while they're going out and arresting people for this, they're going to allow people in their office to be doing these drugs. So all this
I don't think they're going to be allowing it. I don't think they're going to be allowing it in their office, like toking up at the computer.
No, they're going to go outside and toke up. Do you know potheads? I know a lot of potheads. I live like in Los Angeles, and
Charlie on this very show is a notorious pothead.
Exactly, and ask him about it. He'll go out and find a way to smoke during the workday. Believe me, these computer programming hacking dudes. And when you're a hacker, I would think when you're a hacker pursuing this shit, you're not going to be working regular hours. Those dudes don't work regular hours. Sometimes you got to go on a serious hours of work jag. So it's pretty funny that on the one hand, they're putting pot smokers in jail, but on the other hand, they're going to be employing pot smokers. And I'm really happy to see them go after these drug companies. I think the public opinion has finally shifted. Outrage from people like us and shows like ours are becoming more and more common. I'm seeing a more and more of America saying, I've had enough. I'm fed up with what's going on here. And with the internet and with our ability to promote and talk and have a dialogue, they're going to be forced to have to reckon with these drug companies. I really think the pendulum's going to swing the other way.
I don't know. I can't agree with you that I think they're going to, but I really do hope that they do.
Well, folks, I'm Hart Fisher. You've been listening to Heart Attack. You can find me online at Twitter on Hart_Fisher. And you could also find us on Facebook at Heart Attack or Facebook.com Heart Attack Radio. And then American Horrors is free to watch all day, every day at Filmon.com. Hope you folks are having a good one. I'm Hart D. Fisher. Thanks for tuning in for my total oral outrage.
Hey! Dude, did you got it wrong?
right, well, we're not going to leave this gay thing alone.
Let's gay it up.
South Carolina is trying to get, quote, gay literature out of libraries because why the fuck not, right? Because it's quote, forcing an agenda on teenagers.
No, forcing an agenda is where you say, oh, well, I don't like that kind of literature, so we're going to ban it everywhere. That's forcing an agenda. Irony.
So what they're trying to do is they are trying to get, in their words, gay-friendly themed books, unquote, taken out of libraries and schools. So basically anything that might even pretend to be gay, that might even preach a message of maybe there's a gay supporting character and the people don't gay bash them. Well, then is that gay friendly? Where does the line get drawn? Isn't South Carolina legislators basically trying to say we want only our good Christian books in these libraries for people to read? I don't know why I went so Southern there, but it's not really South Carolina Southern, but whatever.
They are literally trying to ban friendliness to gays.
Which isn't that agenda pushing? And isn't that a violation of the separation of church and state because they're pushing the... Never mind.
I draw the line with literature. Like, seriously. You can't tell people what to read. This is just really, really stupid. It's stupid. I had a thought and I lost it, but let me just say that this is stupid.
It is, but I think this goes more to that incoming civil war I keep warning about. I'm not going to drop that because I truly think it's coming. There is a massive divide, and I think it will be not between the Christians and the right wing versus the majority of America. I think it's a war between the Christians and the gays because these are the two parties that are fighting with one another so much that why are people so afraid? Okay, if gay-friendly books, let's say it's a book that is not preaching, hey, it's good to be gay, or hey, butt sex feels great. It's just one that teaches tolerance. How is that a threat to your religion?
It's not. It is 100% not a threat to any religion. It is, gay people are born gay. There is no benefit to pretending you're something you're not. If you're gay, you were born that way, you are gay. There is no changing that. All the fucking Michelle Bachmann camps in the world are not going to change someone's biology. I mean, because I didn't make the choice to be straight. I mean, when I watch the Food Network with my wife and I'm watching the same fucking episode of Chopped for the fourth time that weekend, I would totally choose to be gay. I would walk right over to Alex Chowski's house right now and give him a blowjob if it meant I never had to watch that again.
It's kind of a derisive cutoff point, but fine.
It is not a choice. Nobody chooses to be gay. Nobody chooses to be straight. That's just how we're born, and it is not a threat to your religion. If your religion does not believe in homosexuality, then you don't believe in it. If someone else does believe in it, then it means fuck all to you.
What does that say, then, about their fear of homosexuality? Why do the Christians hate gays so much? Because, like I said, this isn't like preaching, hey, everyone should go out and try and buttfuck a dude, or every woman should go out and lick a twat. That's not what these are saying. They're just saying, I'm different than you, but we're all the same people. And somehow that's a threat. And they're also trying to cloak this in pornography. Well, if it's got a gay character in it, then that's pornographic because gay is porn, right?
This is just them trying to ignore the fact. Like, they're trying to ignore it. They're trying to ignore what they see as a problem so that they don't have to deal with it.
Well, do you know what happens when you stick your head in the sand? It raises your ass in the air and makes it that much easier to fuck.
Indeed. They don't really see it that way. But nevertheless, because it's so much easier for them to ignore the problem and pretend like it doesn't exist than for them to cope with the changing reality that homosexuality and that being a positive thing and not a fucking sin, like that this is becoming more commonplace, that it's being accepted into society as something that isn't horrible and should be beaten to death. And well, they don't want to move on with the rest of society.
Speaking of that, let's leave the gay thing aside for right now. What about what's happening in Santa Barbara, California right now? Santa Barbara, California legislators actually want colleges to start putting, quote, trigger warnings on books, that any student who is about to be, quote unquote, forced to read The Great Gatsby should be forewarned, quote, about a variety of scenes that reference gory, abusive, and misogynistic violence. Huck Finn uses the word nigger, or that various books use sexual situations or violence or naughty words, that college, we're not talking kids here, okay? College students should be warned that the books they have to read might have some objectionable material in them to them.
First off, can I just say that if you are in college and you are just now reading The Great Gatsby, you probably didn't take very high-level English classes in high school.
I hated that book.
And also, just so you know, Winnie the Pooh uses the T word a lot.
Trigger, not Tigger.
I see. Carry on.
But before we get into more of this, your initial thoughts on should college students be warned about, in all honesty, should they be warned about books that they should at least be aware of these things in anyway before they get to college? That's part of my issue here.
No, I don't think people should be warned about books. I think if something offends you, just stop reading it. I think college is a place where a lot of shit is going to happen. Most
experimentation most with gays.
Yes. People use college to explore their thirst for what is sometimes knowledge, but not always. I think, you know, some gay stuff is going to happen in college. I think you're going to try a lot of drugs. I think I did mushrooms for the first time in college. I'm glad I was not warned about that because it's an experience. That's the only time I've ever done it. It was an experience that you have and you deal with, and it makes you a stronger person for having survived it. They're trying to take that away. I think part of, like, just achieving just peace of mind is just accepting how shitty the world is sometimes. And you have to experience that firsthand, or you're not going to learn anything. You're not going to be able to deal with anything real when it happens. People need experiences to shape them. And that's what putting warnings on fucking books is robbing them of.
We have entered into an age where everybody thinks that their son or daughter is so super special and needs to be protected from things that might offend them. And we see this with helicopter parents, but the same kind of goes for, you know, like, I can get a concerned college student. And one of the things that this article focused on was a girl who had been, you know, sexually harassed, like had been raped or something, and then found a rape scene in a book or a movie and gave them, you know, bad memories. And I can kind of see that. And that's something that I think should be handled on a case-by-case basis. To try and say that, oh my gosh, one person might be offended by this scene in a book, so now we have to forewarn everybody. It's just ridiculous, because here's your slippery slope. Where do we draw the line? We can't even begin to predict who's going to be offended by what, because everybody's different.
Exactly. So, I was going to go down the slippery slope argument of saying this is tantamount to not censorship, but censorship. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Spelled with an S?
Possibly.
So where would you even begin to draw that line? Like, it's kind of like Charlie was saying, if you aren't exposed to things that you are afraid of or may find offensive, and what does being offended really mean anyway? Oh no, I don't like this, and somebody else should take responsibility for that feeling.
But then what does this also say about how we treat college students? Now, like, I would honestly have a different opinion if we were talking about high school kids, because they are still kids. But these are college students who made a choice to take whatever class is offering these books. That said, are we saying that they are so fragile with little eggshell minds that they must be protected from media?
Well, being offended is not the worst thing that can happen to someone. In fact, it gives you a sense of your own moral code. You should be... I like when I'm offended because it reminds me that I still can be. That's a good thing. I mean, like, I was offended by Eazy-E. I didn't protest. I didn't ban all NWA albums in my town. I waited until I had an Ice-T solo album and an Ice Cube solo album to choose from. I did not force my own sensibilities on other people. That's a shitty thing to do. It's just, it's awful. And I don't know why so many people think it's okay.
And this is just, it's not talking about banning anything, but it is talking about
putting a warning on something is the first step towards banning.
Right. My thought is that if you start to put warnings on things, it's going to discourage people from partaking in it at all. And that is just one way of preventing people from educating themselves. One step away from banning, it is a few steps away from banning, but it discourages people from reading something that could potentially, you never know how people are going to react to a book. A book could be the most life-changing piece of literature you ever read, but now you're too fucking scared to read it because, oh gosh, I might be offended by a rape scene in it. Just for reference here, in honors or AP English 12, I took AP English, we spent literally every single book that we read that year analyzing if a scene was rape or not. Did everybody feel a little awkward? Sure. That's an awful lot of rape to read about, you know, in school for, you know, high school kids. But nobody complained about it because you were learning something, even if it was slightly unpleasant.
Well, do you think that they're doing this as a way to stop people from learning things that they don't want them to go back to the theme of everything that we've talked about tonight? They are trying to discourage you from learning about things that they personally fear. Because I want to say, look at it like this. I think sometimes you need to have a dark, horrible thing happen in a book to a character to get it through. Ironically enough, I'm going to choose George Orwell's 1984. That book has to be as dark and bleak and oppressive as it is to make its point about how dark and bleak and oppressive censorship is, and they want to censor that. That is an oxymoron that I can't even quantify.
I think the people who are doing this, and this is Santa Barbara, I think you said.
Santa Barbara, California, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I think these are people who have good intentions. These are people who want little warnings for people who could, you know, like they mentioned a lot of soldiers who have PTSD, who might, you know, have some sort of like terrible episode if they read about something involving war, and, you know, girls who might feel uncomfortable reading about a rape if they were raped. But that is such a small amount of people compared to the whole. And I really do think they have good, honest intentions with this, but it's so accommodating to one person to affect everybody.
I don't think they thought this through either. Because
sort of like,
this will have ramifications.
Yeah, because this is that whole, we're trying to treat everybody so delicately that we are going to end up killing ourselves as a species, because everybody is such a fragile little flower that we can't educate ourselves about stuff if we might be offended by something, and we can't let ourselves learn or grow. And that's how we're going to eliminate ourselves as a fucking species. This is why our kids are growing up so fucked up, because they're taught that they're so damn special and everybody should accommodate them and the world should revolve around them. And I don't think these people are thinking of it that way, but that's kind of what it says to me. This is just something that needs to be handled on a case-by-case basis. If you're a college student, no matter how, if you're a freshman or what, you are now a fucking adult. And if you can't handle adult situations, like, you know, something that might set you off, then you should be the one to take the steps to avoid something. When the year starts and you're going to be taking an English class, you're going to get a course syllabus that's going to tell you all the books that you're going to read. You can easily go to Wikipedia and look up and see what happens in those books. And if something offends you, you have every opportunity to go to your professor and say, hey, I had this thing happen to me. Reading this part of the book is probably going to be really messed up for me. Is there anything else I can do?
Yeah, but then also, doesn't that kind of make, in quotes, special people that don't have to do what the rest of the class has to do to get to the same place?
Potentially, but again, case by case basis. Maybe your teacher will say, hey, just skip that chapter.
I think it's all there in, like, on its face. I think if knowledge is power, people that are trying to keep knowledge from you don't want you to have power. I don't think they are very good intentions, Kat. I kind of disagree with that. I think it would be good intentions if these were, like, you know, middle schoolers or maybe the first couple years of high school, but you can't even be concerned with grown adults in college getting offended at shit. You don't have to warn them. It's part of life. It's part of being alive. I mean, if you shelter yourself away from everything, you're going to get fucking weak and you're going to die. It's okay, say that the CEOs of all pharmaceutical manufacturers enter into some sort of agreement. They are going to stop production on all pharmaceuticals. I'm not sure why this would happen, but rich people are fucking crazy. It could happen. So many of us would die because we try to protect ourselves from everything. Develop a dependence on fucking lactate because you're lactose intolerant. Oh, but pizza's really good. So I'm just going to take this, change my biology to suit myself, and then I'll just have a dependence on this. People have dependencies on antidepressants, not because they're depressed, because they want to feel fucking perfect all the time. We're making ourselves weak, and I think we are going to pay a price. I think if evolution is to be believed, Christians, I think we're going to start seeing the effects pretty fucking soon. I think Idiocracy, the estimation of 500 years, was pretty goddamn liberal.
Well, but doesn't this also kind of go to kind of a conformity that they want all the books to be the conformity that you have to conform to our ideals and not the student should have to conform to the book's ideals? Because isn't it the purpose of the book to teach you something, not you to teach the book something?
It should be. Ideally, that's what it is. You take the information as it is. You choose to understand it, choose to learn about it, or choose not to. And if you're going to choose not to, you're going to just shelter yourself away from everything that might be potentially offensive, and you're going to be fucking boring. All your stories are going to suck.
Well, Charlie, you offend the shit out of me every week. Where can people go and get offended by you?
Well, if depends on what offends you, but if the shit continues...
Your face!
Yeah, exactly. Then you can find me at Alex Jowski's house giving him a blowjob if that's going to offend you. Or Twitter, Facebook, www.geekjuicemedia.com. I'm there.
Should we clear this with Jowski first?
Well, I'm not actually going to do that. That's what we call hyperbole, buddy.
Ah, okay. Well,
but if you were offended by that...
Well, I'm not offended by Kat, so if people want to not be offended by Kat, where can they go?
Well, I'm not saying I'm not going to offend anybody, but you can find me on Twitter at LabyrinthCat and on Facebook.com/NerdistCat. And you can also find me over on That Guy with the Glasses under the podcast tab for my other show, Nerd to the Third Power.
I guarantee I'll offend you if you go to 1201beyond.com, 1201beyond@gmail.com to contact the show if you're offended. And you can also go to Geek Juice Media. But to me, if you're offended, I don't care. Then I did my job right.
The right.
Stay
What the Fuck is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.